This CKNW podcast is brought to you by Destination Toyota in Burnaby, BC's number one Toyota dealer for the sales purchase experience.
Hey, and welcome to the show. I tell you what, the second half of the show, we will have open phones, so you can get ready at the bottom of the hour to call. But for the first half of the show, we're going to be speaking with Nick Lacasse from Ford of Canada. For those of you who listen regularly, you know I was just on the trip for the all-new Ford Escape. So I have an interview with Nick Lacasse about the 2013 Ford Escape. Well, first of all, Nick, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Okay, we're sitting in the new Ford Escape, which is totally different than the current model. And you know what? I do get calls to this radio show, people saying I'm looking for a boxy, traditional-looking SUV, because the trend in the market is to go to this real flowing, aerodynamic design. Now, they go to an aerodynamic design for a reason, right?
Actually, there's a few reasons why we're moving from what is essentially a 12-year platform. The first reason, and it's probably the first purchase reason that we see on the market today for small, compact utility vehicles to anything, really, is better fuel economy. By changing the platform to a new global platform allows us to not only make a sleek design more fuel efficient, also allows us to put in all the new technologies that are responsible for better fuel economy overall.
So the answer, I guess, is, you know, drive it first before you decide, because sometimes when you drive a product, it grows on you, the design, right?
Well, there's the drive portion, which is, you know, critical to any purchase you make, but especially in the case of the Escape, where the all-new Escape is completely redone from top to bottom. There's not one piece of body panel that survived the transition from 12 to 13, and it's a good thing, because as much as our customers love the Escape, as you know, it's been the best-selling small SUV in Canada for the last 9 years. So when we're moving to a new design, it was really important for us to keep delivering what customers are looking for in a compact SUV, but at the same time, the driving dynamics of this vehicle with new technologies such as torque vectoring control or torque control really drive this vehicle like a driver's car. It really feels very tight on the road.
Well, let's talk about what this vehicle is built off of. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago maybe, at the Detroit show, they talked about how many vehicles were going to be built off the Ford Focus platform, and that's really what's the essence of underneath this product, right?
Well, if you look at the skeleton of the new Escape, it really what we call our global C platform, on which the Focus is assembled, and other vehicles that are yet to come to Canada, but it's coming soon, like the C-Max and the C-Max Energy are two hybrids and plug-in hybrid vehicles that are coming our way. The Escape is actually the number 10 of the list of vehicles that are assembled off the same skeleton, but all the DNA that we've kept in the compact SUV really remains inside the Escape. So you will see some family cues between the new Escape and the new Focus, which is good because the new Focus is doing so great.
Yeah, but that's what I wanted to get to, is the fact that the Focus is a real driver's car. I think that for people that are in the compact car segment, which is so huge in Canada, if you're sort of more driver-oriented, then that car delivers. And you're getting that with this vehicle. Just driving it the short time we did yesterday, I was really surprised that it just feels like a car.
It is the driving dynamics that you wouldn't expect of a compact traditional SUV. And the Escape buyers today and the customers in Canada that are driving the old Escape will be shocked to see how the difference in driving dynamics as you go to the new vehicle lines, the new vehicle. And then you got new powertrains. You got a 1.6-liter EcoBoost and you got a 2-liter EcoBoost. No V6 as we go with 13, which is, again, a little bit of a surprise. And someone would, you would always want the V6 engine, you know, give me the power. Where the 2-liter EcoBoost engine would actually outperform the outgoing V6, both in horsepower, torque, while still getting significantly more fuel economy. So it's a win-win-win situation.
That the one I drove yesterday, that 2-liter EcoBoost engine is a beauty. I tell you, on the highway especially, you want to pass somebody, you just look at the throttle and the thing scoots away.
Well, what you're looking at, the 2-liter and the 1.6, but the 2-liter, the one we're talking about here, because it's a turbocharged engine, you get all the torque at the low end of the torque curve. Mm-hmm. So especially when you're passing or when you're getting off, say, from a red light, you get all of that power from the engine, all the 270 foot-pounds of torque, which is huge for a 2-liter engine. You get it from the get-go. So the feel you're getting as you're passing on the highway or you're just getting on the street is really incredible.
Now, the 2.5 liter is still around. That's your four-cylinder base motor, but it's been tweaked a bit, right?
The 2.5 liter that we had last year had been, like you said, tweaked, and it's making a return into the S model, so the entry-level model. Because the other thing we have to get used to with the new Escape is a change in nomenclature, where we're going to a new global approach. So customers in Canada are used to the XLS model, an XLT model, Limited, and now we've gone to the global nomenclature of S and SC, SCL, and Titanium, which is all new, 2013. So the S model entry level will have the 2.5 liter IVCT. It's not an EcoBoost engine. But the moment you go to SC is where things get interesting a little bit, because now you get not one, but two choices of EcoBoost engines, the 1.6 that we talked about, and then an optional 2 liter that we just talked about as well.
Okay, so say the base one S is just the 2.5 liters, what you're saying. You go up one level, the next trim level, you get the 1.6 EcoBoost turbocharged direct injection. To jump up to that 2-liter motor, how much of a price increase is it?
Well, we're looking at last year. The walk from a 4-cylinder engine to the V6 engine last year was $1,600. And, you know, despite getting a much better engine this year, so you get more power, much better fuel economy, but we didn't touch that walk, so we kept it at $1,600.
I think that's a screaming deal. Hey, listen, anybody out there, after driving it, spend the $1,600. You won't be disappointed.
It is a driver's car for sure versus the V6 that replaces. And it's that torque that just delivers. It puts a smile on everybody's face from what I could tell from yesterday's drive.
Now, you have borrowed other technologies. You touched on it earlier. From Explorer, you have something called curve control. Now, this isn't going to keep you slim. It's not that kind of curves. It's from when you go into a curve too quickly, right?
There's two technologies that are making it. We're from two different vehicles, and this is the first time we're going to have them both in one vehicle, and it's, like you said, curve control. And curve control, I guess the best way to explain it is you're going on the highway, you're going on an off-ramp, and maybe you've misjudged it a little bit. And it's happened to all of us where the turn's a little tighter than we thought. So the engine, the vehicle will sense that you're trying to take the ramp, but the vehicle dynamics is kind of pushing for an understeer a little bit, so it's going to push you towards the outside of the curve. Curve control will detect that and apply braking power to any of the four wheels or all wheels to slow you down and put you back in control before you skid out of the ramp. It does it by applying brake 16. It'll slow you down 16 kilometers an hour per second. It'll put you right on the back on the right track.
Well, that's one of the things with crossovers, you know. The traditional box-shaped crossovers, SUVs that were built on pickup truck platforms, you would go into a corner too quickly and you got off the pavement, and then you could have trouble with rollovers and those sorts of things. So that's really a great safety feature. Then torque vectoring in the Focus is one of the highlights of that vehicle. It just dances around corners, and this vehicle does as well. What is that? How does it work? It kind of mimics a limited slip differential, right?
That's exactly it. It looks a little bit at what the limited slip would do, but applies it to the front wheels, which is, you know, uncommon. So what it does is, again, a good example, you're going on the highway, but you're taking a tight curve as you're trying to accelerate at the same time. So what the system will do is it'll apply a little bit of braking power. You can't hardly feel it on the inside wheel of the turn. And then it just, all the power goes to the outside wheel, and then it just makes you corner around that curve and puts you in control. And it's a very enhanced the driving experience quite a bit when you get to experience it.
The other thing I noticed, we're sitting in the new Escape. I do see similarities to the Focus in here. It's a little similar. It's got the beautiful soft touch dash, nicely finished. You've got some dark gloss finish around the radio, and you have the high-end Sony system. So the interior is very avant-garde and fashion-forward. But front and center is my Ford Touch, which has been updated for 2013. There were some complaints about the first gen. It was a little slow. The buttons were small on the screen. But you've tweaked that too, haven't you?
Well, what we've done to my Ford Touch is we listen to our customers. Everything that they liked about my Ford Touch, we made it better. Like you said, we increased the font size. The system is much more responsive. And also the voice commands are more precise, and it powers on rapidly. We've changed the navigation system. We've gone back to the supplier we've had before, which is Telenav, which is providing us with a state-of-the-art nav system. And the system is really simpler to use, easier to read. The key here is we listen to our customers. And because we've got a system that you can upgrade yourself, makes it really easy for us, because even the vehicles that have MyFortTouch today, you can contact your dealership, or you'll be getting a USB key in the mail, and you can do your upgrades like you would with a home computer. And I guess that's unseen in the marketplace today, that you can customize and upgrade your car, really.
That's Nick Lacasse. We did the interview in San Francisco where they had the launch for the new Ford Escape, the best-selling compact crossover in the country. So this vehicle is a big deal because the fastest-growing segment in the Canadian marketplace is the compact crossover. So Ford has quite a remarkable vehicle on their hands. So we're going to speak to Nick again. We're also going to take open phones for the second half of the show. So we'll get back to our interview with Nick Lacasse after the break. And next, it's another good news story. Every single week you hear the voice of Mark Bergevin doing his thing, and now he's going to give us a good news story, somebody that's gone to Odessa Richmond Public Auction and put their car on the block. And what's this good news story about this week, Mark?
This news, this good news story, Zach, is a 04 GMC Sierra 2500. It had a lot of kilometers, 257,000 K. The gentleman brought it to us. He just didn't want to deal with the hassle of selling it, you know, the paper, the ads, the Craigslist, all of those things. So he found us and thought he'd give it a shot, brought it down. We gave it an appraisal of $2,000. He put a reserve of $2,500 because you're able to do that. And then again, lo and behold, sold $2,850.
So went over asking. Went over reserve, I guess, is what you'd say.
Yeah, by $350. So that's all money in the bank.
Especially for a vehicle with that many kilometers on it.
Yeah, we were surprised too. So please for us, please for the new buyer, and also please for the seller. So a triple win there.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Zach.
All right, it's time now to get back to our conversation with Nick Lacasse, Ford of Canada, talking about the all-new 2013 Ford Escape. Now, Nick, before the break, we were talking about all the new features with this Ford Escape. We should recap and say it's been the bestseller in Canada for how many years?
It has been the best-selling vehicle in its segment for the last 9 years in Canada. It's been overall the best SUV overall for the last 8 years. So a really good success story.
And it's something about in the presentation you gave to the journalists yesterday about the name recognition for Escape, and also for Ford as a brand, is increasing. People are really, you know, aware of the brand.
Absolutely. You're looking at what we call brand health, and especially when it comes to Escape, 80% of Canadians, when you say Ford Escape, they all know what it is. So, of course, it's really well recognized in Canada, and of course, you know, the success of the vehicle is by no means has to be part of that recognition that we see. So, really good equity into the name, and as we're launching the new one, we're really excited to see where the brand is today.
Okay, let's get into the price. That's the big question. So you've got a brand new vehicle, lots of technology, a huge update technology-wise from the older model. Have you tweaked the price up, or is it staying the same? How close are we?
Well, one of the reasons why Escape has been enjoying such a success is the great value proposition that we've had in the marketplace. So as we looked at the 2013 model, it was important not to go away from that. Actually, we're bringing back a model that we haven't been offering in Canada, the entry model that we haven't been offering in Canada for the last few years. The XLS model that's sold here in the U.S. but not in Canada, we've brought that back, and it's called the S model. It's only an automatic transmission, 6-speed automatic transmission with sport shift, and it starts at $21,499. So which is the lowest price for a small compact SUV with automatic transmission in Canada. And it was important to us that to keep offering the value proposition for the launch of this great new vehicle.
Will there be a manual available?
There is no manual available as we go in North America at this point. There is a manual transmission in Europe. But the sales were, you know, if you look at the number of people that would select that manual transmission, it's less than 2%.
Right. But those people feel abandoned. There's nowhere to go anymore for a manual transmission.
Well, that's why when we talked to the engineers about we're going to go with a 6-speed automatic transmission. It was really important for us to keep offering that manual shift, which is what we call select shift with sport mode. And it's much more than just changing gears automatically. It really provides a more a sporty environment for when you're driving. So it's really important for us to keep delivering that.
Well, I like that because I've noticed here you've got on the shifter, if you go right to the bottom, it says S for sport mode. You don't have that in Focus. And I would like to have that in Focus.
I think it is coming.
Okay, good.
I think it is coming as we're tweaking. So, of course, it changes the transmission, but also applies other changes to the driving, the onboard computer that will provide a sporty ride or a sportier shift pattern as you're moving. So, yeah, it's a really cool feature. We have it on Edge. It's been introduced on Edge and Escape, and then it's slowly going to make its way through the rest of the lineup.
Okay, now let's get into, that's the base model is how much again?
$21,499 for the S model.
Okay, now to get into the to the one that has the EcoBoost engine, how much for that?
You're looking at the SC model. So again, SC replaces the XLT model from last year at $26,899. So again, it hasn't changed that much versus the 2012 version, but we're adding a lot of content. The EcoBoost engine with up to 20% better fuel economy. We've got heated seats standard, even in the cloth for Canada, which is new as well. You get 17-inch alloy wheels versus the 16s of last year. So a lot of content that we've added into the vehicle, really without charging the whole price for it. So.
And $1,600 to get to the 2-liter EcoBoost.
Absolutely. On that SE trim, the $1,600 would give you the upgraded engine to the V6-like performance, but with a four-cylinder fuel economy.
Okay, I'm trying to get my head around this. Okay, so you're getting, this price went out here. You want to get the SE. You want to get the 2-liter EcoBoost, trust me, and then you want to get all-wheel drive. I'm up near 30 grand, right?
You're getting close. You're looking at the $1,600 for the 2-liter engine, and then $2,200 for the four-wheel drive versus the front-wheel drive. So you're getting close to that 30 grand.
And that's where everybody's landing to get their, you know. But you're getting V6 power, and the competitors, if you want a V6, some others like the RAV4, example, it's more than 30 grand.
Absolutely, and that's where, you know, it's been the success of Escape over the last 9, 10 years or 12 years since the vehicle got introduced. Offer a product a customer wants, and at the same time make it a value proposition where what you get for what you pay is just no one can beat that.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting. When do they hit dealers? I know a lot of people listening to this. I've been talking about this this crossover for a long, long time, saying to people, if you're in the market for a crossover, just wait a little bit. The Escape is coming, and it looks like it's going to be really great. And having driven it, it is. So when is it going to roll onto showroom floors?
Well, production for the new Escape has just started. It's assembled at our Louisville assembly plant. Here in the U.S., so by the time they're hitting our dealerships in Canada, we're probably looking at late May, early June, is what we're forecasting at this point.
Thanks for all your time, and good luck with your new Escape.
It is always a pleasure, Zach. Thank you so much.
All right, that's Nick Lacasse from Ford of Canada. He's a great guy, good interview as well, and gave us a lot of information about the all-new Escape. And I do predict it's going to be a real hot seller. That the Escape that's on the road now is very good transportation, a very good product, simple and fuel-efficient. This new one takes it in a whole new direction, much more sophisticated, it's quieter. The two turbocharged engines, when you hear Nick referring, and I was referring to EcoBoost, that's a direct injection turbocharged engine. They have two of them in the Escape, a 1.6 liter and a 2 liter. The 2 liter is the same engine they put in the Range Rover Evoque, so that's quite a motor. So it's an excellent product, and as you heard, it's going to be arriving very soon. Second half of the show, we're open to your calls on anything automotive. You can call 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. You're always welcome to call through on anything. Next week, I'm off to Texas to drive the new Dodge Dart. So we'll have interviews all about that car next week. But open phones for the second half of the show, 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. Back with your calls next on Driving. Hey, and welcome back to the show. If you have time when the show is done, of course, you're more than welcome to go to my website, motormouth.ca. On the website, you'll see a video review for the brand new 3 Series from BMW. And it's really quite remarkable. You know, we just did the interview with Nick Lacasse from Ford. BMW has also gone to a 2-liter turbocharged direct injection engine, and they both produce about the same horsepower. Ford's 2-liter engine produces 240 horsepower, and BMW's new engine produces 241 horsepower. They both have lots of torque, and that's where the industry's going. Smaller engines with all the latest technology, turbochargers, superchargers, you name it. So you'll find also at motormouth.ca, there's a review there of the 2013 Lexus GS, which is a mid-sized luxury sedan. There's a video I did of the Porsche Carrera, the brand new 991 at the racetrack. There's coverage from the New York Auto Show, the BMW 3 Series. There's a review on there, a video review, and it really is a quite exceptional car. The Mazda CX-5 is going to sell very well, competing with that Ford Escape. And also there's a Jetta GLI. That's all on the homepage, but if you dig into motormouth.ca, there's all kinds of other stuff in there as well. So we're going to go to Calgary next and say hello to Murray. Hey, Murray, what's up?
good morning, Zach. How are you?
Great.
Zach, I was wondering why in recent discussions when people have been talking to you about compact pickups, you haven't mentioned the Honda Ridgeline anymore.
Well, because the Ridgeline isn't really a pickup truck.
Okay.
It looks like a pickup truck, but it's what's called a unibody design, right? So it doesn't have a pickup truck platform, a chassis. It's what I call the white collar pickup. It's for light duty. It's for, you know, the weekend warrior to going to Rona, Home Depot, the garden center, what have you. But for guys that really are looking for a work truck, they're going to go to the usual suspects, Ram, Ford, and General Motors. Because
and box on frame.
Yeah, that body on frame design is what people really require for work. Now, if you don't require that for work, you can go and get the Honda Ridgeline. The problem with Honda is they've left it to sort of flounder. They haven't done anything to it.
True.
And they have to come back and reinvent it a little bit. You know, Ford used to have the Sport Track. That's gone now. That was the same sort of thing. It was a small sort of SUV style with a big little bed on the back. And that's gone away now. That was a body-on-frame design. But, yeah, the Ridgeline is an odd duck, right? It's a very narrow market. That's what they're competing in. And there's no V8 offered. That's another thing a lot of buyers, you know, were looking for.
I certainly like it, and I think it's a wonderful vehicle. I moved down from a Silverado half-ton extended cab short box, no longer needed to pull a heavy trailer, didn't need the large cargo capacity that a full-size pickup had. I looked at the Ridgeline for 2-3 years, and part of my decision to buy it was your recommendation, along with others, and I just think it's a fabulous vehicle. I agree it's not a true pickup, but in terms of what I needed it for in the light-duty hauling and towing a smaller trailer, it's fabulous.
Yeah, that's exactly the market they're going for.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the Honda engines are fairly fuel-efficient. I find that V6 and vehicles like the Pilot and the Ridgeline isn't super great on fuel. What the Ridgeline has going for it is a huge the passenger compartment, the back seat is very roomy. So it's
by far the largest.
Yeah, and it has a lot going for it. It's got a smooth on-road ride, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's a bit of an odd duck. It's not for everybody that's looking for a pickup truck, but if like you said, you're only doing light duty, that's a great option.
All right. Well, I was curious why you hadn't mentioned it. You've answered my question.
If somebody calls looking for a light-duty pickup truck, you know, actually, you know what? You're right, because I do get a lot of people saying there's no sort of compact pickups anymore. All they have left is the Tacoma and the Frontier from Nissan. Other than that, everybody's abandoned that market, and that Ridgeline kind of fits somewhere between a, you know, compact pickup and a full-size. So that's good advice. I'll take your advice. That's great. You're giving me advice.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. We go to George next. Hey, George, what's up?
I'm looking, please, to buy a hatchback, either 2012 or 13. What do you like, please?
And how much do you want to spend, George?
Say about 30.
Well, 30 for a hatchback, you can get a lot of car. That's, you know, I was going to suggest cars that are $15,000-$16,000. You know, you can. I think one of the best is the little Hyundai Accent, but it's you know, it starts at around $14,000-$15,000 bucks. For $30,000, you can get a fully loaded the Ford Focus, the titanium model, which is a beautiful vehicle. So there's lots of options out there. Honda doesn't make a hatchback. There's going to be a new Hyundai Elantra called the GT that's coming out later this year, and that is the stylish Ford Elantra, but it's going to have a hatchback, which will sell very well.
Anything in the Toyota?
Toyota has the Matrix, which has been a favorite for many, many years. You can get a fully loaded Matrix all-wheel drive with the bigger engine for the, you know, mid-20s range, and that's a very reliable vehicle as well. So that's a good choice. There's lots of them out there, George, so that's the thing. You should just, you know, poke around different websites and have a look at what all the manufacturers have. But if you've got that kind of budget, you can pick anything you want. Volkswagen Golf is another great hatchback. It's probably the best-selling hatchback in the world. And it's available with a diesel engine if you're interested in great fuel economy. That's a good option as well.
Uh-huh. Anything else in the hatchback that you like? How about the Mitsubishi, like the
Lancer?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good product. I just find the interior a bit dull. you know, a bit basic. It's interesting. I'm getting a Lancer on Monday, tomorrow. So it's not a hatchback. It's the high-performance Evo. But, that's the only thing. I think the interior is a bit dull. If you can spring for the, you know, mid-20s range, a Volkswagen Golf, actually, now that I think of it, it's probably the best all-round package because it has great space in the back. It's a good handling car, all that sort of stuff. And if you want the diesel, it's a great option. The good thing about the diesel in the Golf, fabulous resale. You want to sell that car 3, 4, 5 years down the road, they fetch big money. So that's a good option for dollars in, dollars out down the road.
Turbo? Get a turbo?
It's a turbo diesel, or it's a regular gas. Yeah, and it's a beautiful engine. Lots of power. I got my dad into one last year. He's driving one, and he says it's the best car he's ever owned. So there you go.
I'll try one tomorrow. Thanks, Zach.
Okay, anytime. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to... Okay, there goes George, and we say hello to Mary. Hey, Mary.
Oh, hello.
How's it going?
Good. I'm a senior in my late 70s, mm-hmm. and I have right now a Chevy Cavalier 2004.
Right.
Under 100,000 kilometers.
Right.
And it's pretty basic, and I'm listening and looking. I'd like to get something. I thought of Toyotas, Hondas, but I did hear about the Ford Escape. Which is an SUV.
Yeah, it's a small little SUV crossover type vehicle, yeah.
I don't need a really big car just for, you know, going around the island.
You know what, if you've had your Chevy, has it been reliable? Have you been happy with it?
Yes.
You know what, another vehicle that is really, really comfortable and smooth and quiet and gives a nice ride is the Chevy Cruze. You might have heard and seen the ads on TV. It's a great product. It's probably it won the Canadian Car of the Year last year. I think it's the best, one of the best compact cars on the road. So go right back to your Chevy dealer and talk to them about that. And it's a very nice car.
Have any bells and whistles?
Oh, yeah. Compared to your Cavalier, Cavalier's like from the Stone Age, right? Yeah. That's an old model. The stuff that comes in it, I mean, you can get heated seats, you can get leather interior, you can get navigation, you can get the Bluetooth for your cell phone, you can get all that stuff. You can get satellite radio, you can get all kinds of features. So it's...
I don't need all that. I just would like to have keyless entry and... You know, a few of the more modern.
Yeah.
I also was hearing about the hatchback because I do take my grandchildren, you know, with the hockey equipment once in a while.
Yeah, it's a big car. It's got a big trunk. So, you know, if you don't need the hatchback, it does have a big trunk. The other one is if you're looking for a deal right now, the Hyundai Elantra Touring is being discontinued and replaced with a new Elantra GT. And people out there, if you're looking for a good, sensible sort of station wagon hatchback style, this product is I think they've got the discount on it right now, and it's a really good car, and it will give you everything you need. So that's an option. The Elantra Touring is going to be phased out and replaced with the Elantra GT, but it's still a good car, but you might get a good deal on one. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Anytime, Mary. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Hey, I just want to let you know, Rick Balkin from NewCarSellOff.com is going to be joining me after the break talking about what's going on the website. And one thing we wanted to mention, if you go to NewCarSellOff.com, they have an entry there for a contest. You can win a smart car. They're giving it away on Canada Day this year. So we'll talk to Rick after the break next on Driving. And welcome back to the show. Each and every week, Rick Balkin joins us. He's the founder, the guy who thought up the website NewCarSellOff.com, where dealers post deeply discounted vehicles that are brand new with a full warranty for you to buy. Now, a couple weeks ago, Rick, we talked about a crossover called the Escape, and there's some great deals on your website with those. Today, we're looking at another crossover, the Orlando. So why are there some great deals? This vehicle's brand new.
Yeah, Zach, it's a brand new model that Chevrolet came out with this year, and I know that the dealers have ordered lots of them because it was a very highly touted vehicle by General Motors, and I think they're now just trying to get the word out about the car because it is a great little car. Do you have anything you can maybe let us know about the car, Zach?
Well, for people that don't know, the Orlando, actually, Rick, you know, one of the best-selling cars in the country is the Chevy Cruze. You see the ads on TV for those all the time. So they took the Cruze platform and they built it up into a 3-row, 7-passenger people mover. So it has all of the great stuff that the Cruze has. It's smooth, it's quiet, it's refined, but you can move up to 7 passengers. It's kind of on par with a vehicle like the Dodge Journey that sells very well. So maybe they've got too many on their lot right now. What kind of deals are they putting forward?
Well, they have finance rates as low as 0% for up to 60 months on the cars right now. But I know that these dealers are very motivated to sell these cars, and they probably would look at a candidate that maybe has less than perfect credit to help them get into this car, just to get the word out about the cars and help them relieve their inventories of some of this excess inventory.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that you need that flow, right? The factories need to make them, the dealers need to sell them, and if there's any bottleneck there, they put incentives in place to keep the flow going, and that's what's happening with this product, right?
Yeah, the 0% is a great motivator. They've got, as in a lot of these lesser-priced cars, there's not a lot of markup in it. So the markup in maximum is about 5% on these cars. So the discount they're giving is a pretty hefty amount of the profit that they would normally make off this car. So maybe the discounts aren't as big as some of the models, but I'll tell you, the value is definitely there of these vehicles.
So that's the Chevrolet Orlando, which just came out this year. So when you're saying someone might be able to get, someone that's maybe credit-challenged might be able to get into one of these, the dealers work with the client? Is that how works?
Yeah, you know, they're going to be as lenient as possible on some of the restrictions that they necessarily would have in place for regular financing. They may offer in-house financing on the vehicle, or they may endorse the financing of the vehicle in order to help them move these vehicles. All I know is that the people that I've talked to that have them on the lot say, Rick, get the word out there. Let them know that we've got lots of them and we're extremely motivated to sell them.
If you want to find out more about these discounted Chevrolet Orlandos, newcarselloff.com for deeply discounted brand new cars with full warranty. Rick, thanks a lot. Speak to you next week.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it.
And another thing, when you're on the website, make sure you have a look and enter to win a brand new smart car that's going to be drawn on Canada Day. More of your calls next on Driving. All right, we have enough time to get back to the phone board, and we say hello to Judith next. Hey, Judith.
Well, hi, Zach. I'm seriously considering purchasing a 2013 Porsche Carrera.
Mm-hmm. Lucky you.
And I had a couple of questions. Is there any room to negotiate on these vehicles?
Not a lot. The thing is that, you should be able to negotiate. There's a bit of wiggle room in there, but what's going to kill you with buying any Porsche is the options list.
Right, exactly.
And basically, when you buy a Porsche, it's what they call, in the restaurant, a la carte. You pick from the menu, and you can keep going and going and going and adding things on that car to the point where it gets ridiculous. And the price of these cars, I had a Carrera S. Actually, you can read my review.
I did read it,
yeah. On the website. So it's a $110,000 car, base
right.
price. Add in the options, 146 grand.
Yes.
That's 36,000 in options. It's unbelievable. So what's going to keep the price down is not loading up the car, right? You're basically getting a very good car, and it comes with, most of the equipment you're going to want, like Bluetooth, and I think it comes standard with heated seats, but, that is a beautiful car. You're a lucky person.
So and then one other question is your view with respect to the Cabriolet versus the
coupe,
hard,
yeah.
What's your view on that?
Well, if you like the roof, then get the Cabriolet. If you want the roof down, they're both great cars. There's really no compromise with the Porsches, with the convertible. They drive just as well. You get a little bit of what's called cowl shake. When you drive over bumps, the body will flex a tiny bit, but not much in those cars. It's a great car. And here's the thing. Everybody talks about high-end cars and fancy brands like Porsche, but Porsche has earned their stripes. They make fabulous cars, very high quality and very reliable. Now that they produce more cars than they ever have, it's affecting the resale a bit. They're just depreciating like any other luxury car, but they're wonderful machines. You're going to love it.
Oh, great. Well, I really appreciate your help.
There's really, to keep the price down, it's not on too many silly options, because there's basically what do you need in the car is what you have to ask yourself. Do you really need the navigation?
Yeah, good point. I do, yes.
Yeah, so get and pay for the navigation. Do you really need the automatic transmission?
Yeah.
Then you got to pay for that.
Yeah.
Really think about, do you really need it versus, and if you can afford to splash out and get some fancier wheels and things, the car mm-hmm. might look better. The bigger the wheel, the slightly choppier the ride will be. So going for the smaller wheel will get you a more compliant ride, especially in a convertible. That's not a bad thing.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Are you going to come and pick me up and take me for a spin?
I will do that.
I'll get I have an older Carrera.
Okay, we'll take them out.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Judith.
Thank
Enjoy.
You.
You're going to look great in that car. Everybody look good in a Porsche convertible. Come on, who's kidding who? Maggie's next. Are you buying a Porsche, Maggie?
No, I'm thinking about, actually, I'm just doing this for my friend today because she can't call.
Okay.
That, Mazdaq CX-5.
Yeah, wonderful vehicle.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. It's going to sell very... Pardon me?
Anything to watch out for?
It's a brand new product, and it's got brand new technology in it. And, you know, Mazda has a very good reputation. You know, they did a survey, one of the companies that that studies the brands and how they're perceived. Mazda was the very top brand, non-luxury brand in Canada. So Canadians really like Mazda products. This CX-5 is very fuel efficient. It's a nice driving vehicle, nicely finished on the inside, nice size. It's got a lot going for it. There's a lot of competition in that segment, though, right? So if you're looking for a compact crossover, there's going to be a new Hyundai Santa Fe, which is going to be very attractive, coming in the fall. We just had an interview on for the first half of the show about the new Ford Escape that's coming in a month or so. So there's some great products out there. And the other one that's just been out now for a couple of months is the Honda CR-V, which I would test drive both of them.
Honda CR-V.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
I took my notes. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Okay, you're writing all that down?
I did.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay. All right,
care,
say goodbye. All right, we go to Mike next. Go ahead.
Morning, Mike. Zach.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm real good. We've been in the same market. We've had the CX-5 out. We've had the Rogue, all those type of vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
The one we really liked was RVR.
The Mitsubishi, yeah.
Yeah, the RVR GT.
Mm-hmm. That's the full load one, yeah, with it's about 28 grand with everything in it, right?
Well, actually, by the time you put everything in there, it pushes up to about 34.
Right, right. But, you know what? If you go on my website, motormouth.ca, I have a review of the RVR GT. The only thing I find is if you get the, it only comes with the automatic, which is a continuously variable transmission.
Yeah,
I find that's a bit of a buzzkill. It's like it doesn't get the most out of that motor. And yeah, so that's my only thing. Other than that, I don't mind the vehicle at all. I think it's, you know, a nice vehicle to drive, except for the automatic I find kind of sucks the life out of the motor a bit.
Well, they have that paddle shift.
Yeah, you know, Yeah, it can't get around the fact that the transmission is what it is. It's a one sort of, it's a variable ratio transmission.
Yeah, but a lot of those, like the Rogue and stuff, has the same transmission.
Nissan does a much better job with theirs, in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
So the Rogue, try the CX-5, try the CR-V, the new Escape's
those.
Coming out. So you're barking up the right tree. If you really like the RVR, and you go for it. Why not?
We've had an Outlander for 8 years, and it's been an incredible vehicle.
Yeah, so there you go. You're happy with the brand. That's what sells. That's what people want.
But now we're like, everyone's talking about this new Escape, and we saw it at the car show, but the fact is you can't drive it.
Yeah. Okay, hang on a sec. I've driven it, and it is spectacular. I think they've done a really good job with that new Escape. So if you're not in a rush, you might want to wait until it comes out. Thanks to everybody that called. Sorry to cut you off there, Mike. We're all out of time. I'm Zach Spencer. Speak to you next week on Driving.